Al Murray, and when I'm not being the pub landlord, I'm often getting shouted at in the street by people who think they know the real me.
Oi, Al! Aren't you that bloke who's obsessed with the Second World War? Here, Murray, you fancy yourself as a bit of a drummer, don't you?
Oi, Baldy, you're that bloke who's part of the establishment conspiracy and you stood for Parliament because the lizard people told you to, right?
Well, finally, I can answer all these people at the same time in my new sketch show, Al Murray, Totally Out of Character. Tomorrow evenings, 6:30 comedy on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Eddie will have a risky suggestion in the Archers in half an hour here on BBC Radio 4. Before that, we dip into the archive for a classic edition of this.
Welcome to Just a Minute.
Thank you. Thank you. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but to welcome to the show four delightful, literate, humorous players of this game, and they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Sheila Hancock, and seated on my left, Sue Perkins and Marcus Brigstock. Will you please welcome all four of them? Thank you. Beside me, Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me with the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House. And once again, I'm going to ask these four players to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And we begin the show this week with Sheila Hancock. Oh, a rather erudite subject. Hope over expectations. Ooh, yes, difficult. Right, Sheila, 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Well, speaking personally, I would always rather have hope over expectations. Hope has something winsome and unfinished about it, whereas expectations is somewhat didactic. England expects every man should do his duty. Well, if I'd been one of the 100 people on the victory, I probably would have turned round and said, no, I won't. If, on the other hand, the word hope had occurred in that phrase, I might have thought, well, good old Horatio, I'll have a go. Because hope springs eternal. Without hope, you can become depressed. People have expectations of you all the time, and you feel like a failure. I hope that I will win this game. But the expectation of the audience and my fellow panellers is that I probably won't, because my past history proves that many times I have not succeeded.
Marcus, you pressed your buzzer.
There was a small deviation. You described us as panellers rather than panellists, which would suggest that we were about to beat some panels. into shape.
I think we all knew that
Paul's
she meant
made panels.
Panelists.
Yes, the thing is, I knew that she meant panelists, but I think the point of the game, somewhat.
I think you are being a little bit pedantic.
No, go on, give it to us.
Yes.
How many more minutes?
So easy to misjudge it, isn't
how
it?
How many more seconds?
You've already gone for 48 seconds.
Have I?
Yes.
And I spoiled it.
So I think, in fairness and justice, I've given Sheila the benefit of the doubt on
Quite
this occasion.
Right.
I will try and give it to you sometime later, Marcus.
I wouldn't.
No. 12.5 seconds, Sheila. Hope over expectations starting now.
Now the expectation that I will win this round is win.
Repetition of win.
Yeah, go on then, you can have that.
Before, yes. Your flow was interrupted and you didn't pick it up again. What a pity. But 10 seconds are still available for you, Sue, on hope over expectations starting now.
The phrase hope over expectation adequately describes all of the relationships I've had to date. In fact, the key and single factor in the collapse of each and every one of them is me.
So Sue was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. She's now one ahead of Paul and the others, and there's Sheila, and it's Marcus's turn to begin. Marcus, here's a subject for you, because you do a lot of work with the news and sending it up and everything, but we've got the subject of 24-hour news for you, 60 seconds starting now.
The trick with being a 24-hour news broadcaster is to keep talking and try to avoid repetition, deviation, and hesitation, because that will really upset people. The problem for many of these reports...
Paul Challenge.
I think it's deviation, you see, because Marcus is saying there that one of the things you can't do is repetition. Of course, 24-hour news is all about repetition. It's the same thing over and over again until something vaguely new happens.
So, well, I think what he was trying to convey was that...
Oh, this is the benefit of the doubt.
It's begun.
I know it is repetitious in that sense, but he was trying to convey that you do keep going with news.
Yes, without repeating yourself. That's right. Yeah. He's absolutely right.
Or deviating and going into, say, gardening.
Yeah.
He has the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. He continues with 24-hour news, 47 seconds available, Marcus, starting now.
Today, the Minister for Not Wearing a Tie performed a spectacular U-turn as he left his house wearing a strand of silk. Is the...
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of wearing.
Yes, too many wearing.
Yes, of course.
24-hour news, Paul, starting now.
I was in holiday in Italy once, and the only television station you could pick up in English was C... Well, I can't tell you what the station was, actually. CNN.
Yeah.
Repetitious CNN, so I said station instead.
You said station.
I've been playing this game for years, you know. Like years I've been playing this game.
Oh, right. Sue, you challenge first.
Hesitation as he realised he was about to double N.
Yes, right. Sue, 32 seconds for 24-hour news starting now.
I love American rolling news where you get people called Chad Thadmeyer and Susan Wolfstein who look earnestly into the camera. He's 105 years old, she's 21, pert with enormous hooters and measurements I would kill for. They've nothing to say and fill the time mindlessly conjecturing what might happen if news had occurred. Imagine, Sam, if something had actually gone on.
Sheila Challenge.
Didn't we have Sam before? The name Sam?
Before she was called something. I can't remember what she was called. But
she wasn't called Sam.
Susan.
Oh, is she? Oh, right.
I'm now looking desperately to the audience.
Yeah.
All of my four eyes
right,
trained
my darling,
in desperation.
No, no. It was Susan.
Was it?
Sure.
Right,
yes,
okay.
Right. So, Sheila, incorrect challenge. Mm. Sue, you still have the subject. You have 8 seconds. 24-hour news starting now.
I particularly like the royal correspondence on 24-hour news.
Marcus Challenge.
Well, that's deviation from the truth. No one likes them.
Oh,
I mean,
down.
Once the news gets going and you realise no one's got anything to say, then they cut to the royal correspondent who has even less than that.
Marcus, she wasn't deviating within the rules of just a minute.
Oh, I see.
But the audience enjoyed your interjection, so I will give you a bonus point because they enjoyed it. Sue gets a point because she was interrupted. 4 seconds, Sue. 24-hour news starting now.
Witchell hanging around Balmoral, wondering what pants Kate Middleton will be wearing come April.
Right. So Sue again was speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point. And others in the round, she's now got a strong lead ahead of all of the others.
And I haven't even had my benefit of the doubt.
No,
you may. But you do start the next round.
Oh, OK.
And it is... Emergency stop. You don't have many of those in this game, but here's the subject. Talk on it if you can. 60 seconds, starting now.
The emergency stop is one of the key manoeuvres in the British driving test. I know I failed it 7 times. My instructor took to calling me Vera because I veered all over the road. How hilarious! He would slam the clipboard down on the front of the dashboard, and I would try to manoeuvre my legs one after the other to break...
Paul Challenge.
Well, I'm not sure. Maneuver. I was going to say it was repetition manoeuvre, but I think it was manoeuvres and manoeuvre, actually. So
yes.
I was going to say repetition, but I don't think it's right.
I don't think it's right either.
No.
So an incorrect challenge, Sue.
Yeah.
So I'm still on emergency stops?
Yeah.
Yes. 38 seconds.
Here we go.
Emergency stop starting now.
It's left me with an incredible fear of men moving...
Slight hesitation, I thought. Didn't you?
I don't think, actually, she did hesitate.
No.
She doesn't.
Give her the... You're right. Give her the benefit of the doubt. I think that's right.
I am going.
Yeah, absolutely.
She wanted a benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And you've
just
got your benefit.
Not on this topic, Nicholas. Is the benefit of a doubt of the doubt a reversible situation?
If you can't do the emergency stop, you're certainly not allowed to reverse.
No.
So you have the benefit of the doubt, you have another point. You have 35 seconds. Emergency stop starting now.
The point of the emergency stop is to brake sharply so you avoid things like kittens. I've never come across a small cat...
Marcus Challenge.
That is a deviation within the highway code.
Absolutely,
it is very clear that if you see an animal in the road, you're absolutely not to brake. In fact, I think they advise you to accelerate. in order to hit the beast. But you're not supposed to break for an animal, so it's a
You're
it's
quite
a deviation.
Right, you mustn't break for an animal. No. Yeah.
You mustn't break for an animal? What, just even a little kitten in the road? You
a little kitten
face.
In a moped.
Darling, this...
Coming across the traffic light.
This is emergency stop.
Help me. You,
yeah, help me. Did you hear that kitten, Nicholas? Help me. Did you hear the kitten now?
You put your... You,
help me.
You put your...
Help.
What are you
going to
do with that little kitten?
I've got passive eyes, don't crush them.
That little kitten's asking you for help, Nicholas.
Yeah, right. Well, what I'm going to say is you put your brakes on and try to slow down to avoid it, but you do not do an emergency stop because it could cause...
I'm just a kitten.
Yeah.
There are different rules for rhinoceroses.
You know. Well, that is, you just come to a stop.
Yes.
But, Sue, I mean, you are at least last person to be kitten-like, really.
Mm. I've got a softer side, Nicholas, as well you know. Come on, remember, Stevenage last year.
I know.
Stevenage?
Not
is this true,
well.
Nicholas?
Well, if Sue says so, her memory's better than mine.
You cad, you told me you'd remember forever.
Marcus, correct challenge. Emergency
Hallelujah.
Stop. With you, 28 seconds starting now.
The shortest and most alarming telegram I ever received simply read, emergency stop. I had no idea who it was from. I simply knew that something terrible had happened and I must leap into action as fast as I possibly could. So I got inside my car and sped off. Unfortunately for me, a small child ran in front of the vehicle and I confused him for a kitten, so I accelerated.
Poor new challenge.
I pressed the emergency stop. I didn't know where we were going with this.
No.
Deviation.
Why?
What? Why?
He said the small child, and he didn't know whether to do an emergency stop or not. He did enjoy what you said, Marcus. It was very, very funny.
Oh, good.
But Paul, you have a correct challenge. A point to you. 4 seconds. Emergency stop starting now.
An emergency stop is indicated such as this. The driver says to you, I want this emergency...
So, Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gaining that extra point. He's moved forward. He's still behind Sue Perkins in the lead. Then it's Marcus Brigstocke and Sheila Hancock in that order. Paul, we're back with you to begin. Oh, the subject. Lovely one. Rubbish. Tell us something about rubbish in this game, starting now.
The world is creating tons upon a lot of... What happened then?
Sue.
Hesitation?
There was a hesitation.
Was there?
Yeah. You didn't get out the alternative word to rubbish. Sue, rubbish with you. 57 seconds starting now.
I love a good bin man. The way they turn up at the house at 5:30, whistling cheerily, as if that wasn't enough. I don't know what cheerly is, but possibly it's derivation of the word.
What it is repetition.
Cheerily. Paul, you got it back again,
see? Yes, didn't I?
You got a point.
Yes.
You've got 48 seconds. You've got rubbish.
Yeah.
You haven't got rubbish, but the subject is rubbish. And you start now.
When I look at our chairman, Mr. Nicholas Parsons, and I think of the subject rubbish, I realise that he is completely incompatible with that particular theme. Rubbish is something that we associate with, no longer needed. We throw it out of our house, deposit in our dustbins. It is to be gone. Is clutter rubbish that has yet to be thrown out, I wonder? We look at our lives and...
Sheila, challenge.
Have we had thrown out before?
Yes, Sheila. Have a correct challenge.
Oh,
and
really?
You have 25 seconds on rubbish starting now.
It's very complicated throwing out the rubbish these days because there's so many different colour bags. There's orange ones for paper and tins. There's green for garden stuff.
Sue, challenge.
Slight hesitation?
Yeah, there was.
Pondering the nature of the green. Was that
green for garden
stuff? Green is for paper.
I thought it was the beginning of a song.
It was mellifluous, I'll give you, it was.
So, Sue, you got in on rubbish. And got in on rubbish, I love that. And 16 seconds starting now.
I try to recycle as much as possible and not put too much in the rubbish. Once I saw turtles, who Marcus would happily kill, if in fact they crossed roads, then swirling in a midst...
Oh, Sheila, challenge.
Well, she was hesitating.
Yes, she was, yes. Got it back again, 6 seconds available, rubbish starting now.
I once did a play at the Royal Court and somebody in the audience stood up and said, rubbish, and I was so grateful because it absolutely was.
Well. So Sheena Hancock was then speaking as it was went, gained that extra point. She's now moved forward equal with Marcus Brigstock in third place, just behind Paul, and then out in the lead still is Sue Perkins. And Sheila, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is celebrity spotting. Oh. 60 seconds starting. Oh, give me a chance to write it down, all right?
Yes, I have to have it done, because if it goes to somebody else, I forget what it is if it comes back to me.
Very good idea. That's why the pad and paper in front of you.
Yeah.
Celebrity spotting, 60 seconds, Sheila, starting now.
Well, this is something I have done all my life. It started when I was in a show in the West End and I was madly in love with an actor called Paul Scofield. Also, a friend of mine who was gay was also our Mammoth.
Oh, dear. Sue Challenge.
Repetition of was also.
There was also there.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Also in love. Right, 48 seconds. Celebrity spotting, Sue, starting now.
I once hyperventilated in a supermarket on seeing Jeanette Cranky, and that's as close to as a celebrity spot as one would wish to get in normal gear, not the coquettish young schoolboy outfit we've come to know and admire her in. The flesh, a small Glaswegian woman. Ooh, man.
Sheena,
small?
Yeah, too small.
We had small before.
She's very small.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, Sheena, well, listen, you got back in again on celebrity spotting, and there are 32 seconds available starting now.
And I discovered where this said actor used to go between the matinee and the evening
Sue Challenge.
Repetition of actor.
Oh. Yes, there was another actor, the other one, yes. Yes. Celebrity spotting with you, Sue, 29 seconds starting now.
It's strange when you see a celebrity in that you expect them to be somehow august and grandiose, but they're usually shuffling around in slippers with an open fly around Tesco Metro.
Sheila's child.
I don't think that's altogether true.
No. You tell that to Richard Madeley.
I mean...
You've never done that, have you, Nicholas? You've never walked around...
Well, I mean, at my age, sometimes you do forget to zip up sometimes.
Yeah. Too much information. Yeah.
That would be a celebrity spot, though, wouldn't it, Sheila?
But as Bob Hope said when telling that gag, he said, the trouble is, it's when you forget to zip down.
Yes.
celebrity spotting with you, Sheila, and 18 seconds starting now.
In the 1950s, I was doing an LP at Abbey Road, and we came out and there was a pea super fog on, so we couldn't see in front of our hands. We had to go down the tube. And down amongst the crowd...
Oh, Paul Towns.
Oh, sadly, repetition of down.
Yes, you went down
as
too
I
much,
said
my
it,
darling.
It was like an electric shock.
Was it?
Yeah.
Paul, you've got in with 5 seconds to go. Celebrity spotting starting now.
Celebrity spotting, well, I just look in the mirror and there I am. Who buzzed that? Who buzzed
me,
Who buzzed then? Who buzzed then?
Sheila.
Outrageous.
He was so pleased with himself. There was a long pause after Anne.
There was no long pause.
There was a long pause.
Rubbish.
There was.
I've come all the way from Great Portland Street to do this show.
They shouldn't have women on this show.
I should explain to one of those. Those are two phrases from the past which Kenneth Williams used to use. And
always when I was on the show. They shouldn't have women on this show.
Yeah.
That must have made you feel so welcome.
Right, so, Sheila, yes.
Yes!
Oh, yes.
Definitely, definitely.
Paul, you looked in the mirror.
Yeah.
And it's a celebrity spotting.
Here I am.
So overcome with your image. And you couldn't do anything else but pause.
You've got no repetition, hesitation, deviation or narcissism, apparently.
You're not allowed to bask.
Yeah. You can do it whenever you want.
I can do it whenever I want.
But not in just a minute.
But not in just a minute.
Because it's pausing.
I can walk around Tesco's with my flies open, but I can't do it here.
It was you.
It was me, yeah.
Yeah.
Hanging around the delicatessen. That's you doing that. That's you doing that.
The images you create, Paul.
Yes.
And it's going around like a little ripple through the audience.
Yeah. So how long did I hesitate for?
You didn't start again. You stopped. You stopped.
So, Sheila, you
wait till you hear it.
You cleverly got in with 1 second to go.
1 second. That's Clement Freud's trick. I love that one.
But you're certainly playing the game with great shrewdness. Right, 1 second on celebrity spotting, Sheila, starting now.
Orson Welles.
So Sheena Hancock was then speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point, and she's now moved into second place behind Sue Perkins, and she's one ahead of Paul Merton and two or three ahead of Marcus Brigstock in that order. Well, of course it's out of order, because that's the way I read it out. Marcus, will you begin the next round?
Yes.
Subject here is rulers. Tell us something about rulers in this game, starting now.
When I was a young man at school, I was beaten across the back of the legs with a ruler. Unluckily for me, the ruler in question was Louis the 16th.
He repeated ruler, and it's rulers on the card.
Oh, that's forensic.
I'm getting
you
there.
You turned it into that sort of programme, is it?
Right.
Well, listen, very shrewd. Yeah,
true.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So you.
I was pronouncing it with the silent S, as in avocado.
No, don't worry, you'll get it back. I've got nothing to say about rulers.
Haven't you? We'll see. 53 seconds, starting now.
When I was at school, we used rulers to draw lines on the paper.
Paul Tarrant.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, she said she had nothing to say on rulers.
I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Yes, absolutely.
And,
do I get an extra point for him interrupting
that's
me?
That's right, darling.
Yeah, good.
Not an extra point. You get the point because you were interrupted.
Yeah,
and 49 seconds. Rulers are starting now.
To do our writing in.
Sue Challenge.
Slight hesitation?
Darling, you're getting too sharp for your own good.
Yeah, I lost myself then in
yes.
my asthma of competitiveness.
Right, yes. Sheila, another point to you. Interruption. 47 seconds. Rulers are starting now.
Elizabeth the First, Charles the First.
Of all the kings and queens you could have chosen to follow.
Right. I got above myself, didn't I?
Marcus, you got in first, and there are 43 seconds available. Rulers starting now.
The best thing to use rulers for is to flick wet bits of paper at other boys, and that is how you get beaten across the back of...
Sue Challenge.
Repetition of beaten across the back
of...
I know it's a painful memory, though.
Yes.
It's going to come back.
Repetition was the theme of the beatings, as I remember, on account of we had to count them out and then say thank you. Still, boarding school.
Yeah, those are the
good value.
Are you all right, Marcus?
No, I had a small seizure when I realised my parents didn't love me much.
36 seconds, Sue. Rulers starting now.
My favourite ruler is Marie Antoinette, who governed France for several years and was a much maligned historical figure. She was dragged from Austria as just a teenager and spent 3 weeks crossing the mountains to finally meet her boyfriend, Louis.
Paul Challenge.
Sorry, did you say she was dragged from Austria?
Yes.
Yeah, she was.
Literally dragged from Austria.
Well, she was in like a sedan chair, so it's a sort of semi-dragging.
Mm.
When they got tired, it felt like a drag.
Metaphorically speaking.
Oh, metaphorically speaking.
All the way from Austria.
Metaphorically speaking, she was dragged all the way from Austria.
3 weeks it took.
In a sedan chair.
3 weeks it took.
Yeah, that's a long time,
isn't it? It's a long time.
Yeah.
Benefit of the doubt to Sue Perkins.
Yes.
And the audience agree? 19 seconds, rulers, with you, Sue, starting now.
She yodeled all the way in here. Just telling you the facts, Sheila.
It's not me! I'm quite
cool
ready
challenge.
To believe
did we have all the way before? She was
yes,
dragged all the way.
All the way, yes. And I don't think she yodeled either.
I think she was metaphorically yodeling.
Yeah.
Don't you?
No, you'll never let those sort of things lie, will you, Paul?
No, I don't, know.
It was a yodel de coeur. That's what it was.
Rulers with you, Paul. 17 seconds starting now.
Lady Jane Grey had one of the shortest reigns of any English monarch, a matter of a few days. She was there used as a political...
Marcus Challenge.
Yeah, the sort of hesitation, really.
No, there wasn't.
Well, I felt there was, why I buzzed in. It was, I suppose, the change in rhythm when Paul went, she was there.
It was a change in rhythm.
Yeah. It sounded like he was
commentating
a horse race.
I wasn't like
Murray
Walker, was I commentating?
Yeah, it was...
She was there! In the final lap!
Right, Paul, you still have the subject. And 9 seconds. Rulers starting now.
Henry VIII had 6 wives, and I shall take up the intervening time by telling you exactly their names. The first one was called Catherine of Aragon, and she...
So Paul Merton was then speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point, and we are moving into the final round.
Oh.
I thought I'd get more reaction than that. I thought you'd like to know the situation as we go into the thing. Mm. Sue Perkins is still in the lead. She's a few points ahead of Sheila Hancock and Paul Merton, who are equal in second place. And then comes Marcus Brigstock. And Sue, we would like you to begin the next round. Something in the news a lot. Wags. Tell us something about WAGS in this game, starting now.
WAGS stands for Wasted, Argumentative, Gossipy Slatterns. They're often seen around football pitches, not really understanding the rules of the beautiful game. The offside is no brook to their sensibility.
Sheena Challenge.
Is that a hesitation?
A dramatic embellishment.
No, I think she dragged the word out. I gave you the benefit of the doubt last time, Sheena.
Right.
This time it goes to Sue. She still keeps the subject. WAGS, 45 seconds, Sue, starting now.
WAGS think a transfer window is something you get burgers out of at a drive-by at McDonald's. Their main preoccupation seems to be buying handbags. It's not a particular retail experience I'm familiar with. Nonetheless, they clutter up Rodeo Drive or wherever they might be in Madrid and some other places, following their beloved spouses as they kick...
Marcus Challenge.
Yeah, I think it's a deviation. I think the word beloved is overstating the relationship.
Marcus, a lovely challenge, but the thing is, that's the way Sue could see it.
Some of them are genuinely in love.
Yes, they could be.
Look at their syrupy faces.
And they will say vocally that they are. I'm with my beloved.
They're like well in love, Marcus.
So, Sue...
Unless he gets moved to Portsmouth, then I'm not staying with him. No.
Oh, my days, no Portsmouth. No way, man.
So, Sue, another incorrect challenge for you, which gives you another point and 25 seconds available. WAGS starting now.
The look is simple. Bouncy hair like they've just stepped out of a salon. And they have. That's all they seem to do. The fingernails manicured to the point of perfection, sparkling with cuticles that you can see your face in. Yes, I'm jealous. And everything that I say...
Sheena, challenge.
Repetition of yes?
Yes. There are many yeses.
And
many
I think yes. You're being a little cruel, Sue.
Well, no, that's why I said it comes from jealousy.
It's a little spiteful, if I may say so. I think both of you are being a bit unfair.
Yes.
As I say, it comes from a position of envy.
Very charmingly and very sensitively said, Sheila. Right, and you have the subject now with another point, of course. 9 seconds, WAGS starting now.
My cat wags his tail when he's angry. He looks at me and growls.
Paul Challenge.
Well, it is repetition of he.
Yes, there was.
A bit like repetition of yes. Do you remember the one that Sheila just had?
No, yes, it's got 3 letters.
Do you remember
he's
how the game's played, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh, it's all going haywire. Yeah. Four seconds for you, Paul, on WAGS starting now.
When I look in the mirror, I think to myself, I'm a celebrity. Where's my WAG? And there's you!
I'll give you the final situation. Marcus Brigstock finished in fourth place.
Yes.
In third place did Sheena Hancock with a magnificent 12 points. She was 3 points behind Paul Merton in second place. But out in the lead was the incomparable Sue Perkins. So we say, Sue, you're the winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to these 4 fine, intrepid players of the game. Paul Merton, Sheena Hancock, Sue Perkins and Marcus Brigstock. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score. She's blown that whistle most delicately after the 60 seconds elapsed. We thank Talusha Gilani, who is our producer. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're grateful to this lovely audience here in the radio theatre who've cheered us on our way magnificently. From the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.